Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's a choice. The power to choose. It's an excellent teaching. And we have it. Glory! Whoa. Okay, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All that is within us, bless your holy name. And forget not his benefits. Yes. Benefits. Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Let's speak this together. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, verse 50. If I didn't tell you yet. Well, come on, you're in the spirit. I don't know, right? All right, I repent. In verse 50. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then all shall be brought to pass that the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In this area of change, in other words, we must change. We cannot enter the next age in this condition. As believers, we are going to change for the age that's getting ready to come. Is everybody with me? And in this, he said, in other words, those who are followers of Christ Jesus, they are going to change. In other words, in this, it will be the fulfillment of your redemption and salvation where you will get a glorified body. The purpose that we get a glorified body is so that we can enter into the millennium age in that kingdom and rule with Christ, but this will not be our home. Our home will still be in heaven called Jerusalem. People have gone there and they've actually looked at it as another earth. It looks like another planet in its own sense. But there's the Jerusalem. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. So you and I will be going back and forth. So we'll need to have a glorified body. This is the fulfillment of your salvation and the completion of your redemption is a glorified body. So we must change. We cannot enter into that. We cannot enter into that other realm in this condition of flesh and blood. So we must have a glorified body. Does everybody understand it? Therefore, he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast. Be what? Steadfast. Immovable. In other words, hold fast to the end so that you enter into the next age. Is everybody with me? Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. This is so powerful. You know, many people don't even understand what's getting ready to happen. People don't even realize what's ahead for us. You know, we have a hard time because we can't comprehend eternity. We need to change to enter into that realm and understand it. You and I can't get it. We can talk about it all we want, but you're not going to get it until you're there. Then you're going to get it. And it's going to be the most awesome, powerful arena that you've ever entered. That's why the word says, man, count your goofy afflictions right now as dust. Don't worry about it, man. It's just a moment compared to eternity. But we get so caught up in foolishness and vanity. We get so caught up. And the Lord is saying, stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Why? Because isn't the end result the age to come in an eternity? That's it. Amen? I mean, all of this is not going to even matter anymore. But we get so caught up. Foolishness. And that's the ploy of the enemy. That's how he influences us. He doesn't want you to know what's getting ready to happen. He doesn't want you to know what's coming. He wants to keep us caught up right here in the now. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 John chapter 5. So we must change. Amen? Doesn't the Bible say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Work it out. Work it out. That means you must be immovable. That means you must cooperate. Work it out. Glory. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now let me share something with you. That is a place of being. So many times people do not walk in that state of being to overcome. If you're in the flesh, can you overcome? No. If you're in the spirit, can you overcome? Yes, it's a state of being, isn't it? What position you in? What chamber are you in, walking in the tabernacle? That's where you are in a born-again state of being. Walking in the Spirit is the born-again state of being, using Christ as a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. It's a state of being. Too many people are just walking in a state of salvation, not a state of new creation. And there's a difference. There's a difference between being just saved and born again. Hallelujah. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now remember, faith is not blind. It's spiritual sight, isn't it? So if you're walking in a state of being, born again state of being, you're able to see, aren't you? You're able to hear, aren't you? So what you hear is what you see then. And now you're walking in another arena. You're walking in another dimension. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Word believe means to what? Follow. Well, I'm a believer, but I still want to do what I'm doing. No, you're not a believer. Verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water and by blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So we know that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit is associated with the tabernacle of God in eternity. You notice it didn't say the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit. Hello. Because Jesus wasn't yet, even though he was the Word. And they all came as one into the natural realm. And God placed a name on himself called Jesus. But he came in blood because he entered into this realm, a fallen realm. And he became man. But he became the God-man. Amen? So there's the three witnesses in heaven and there's the three witnesses on earth. And what connects the earth with heaven is the Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Spirit, the water, and the blood is associated with the tabernacle here on earth. You enter through the blood. That's the sacrifice. The water is associated with the Word. And the Spirit is associated with the most holy place. So you got the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Is everybody okay? But you notice that there's three in the area of the three representing Trinity or unity. It says that they were one. In verse 9 it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, and he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That means we must abide in him, right? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue. Everyone say continue. To believe in the name of the Son of God. So we see something very powerful because he speaks now of two realms. There's the realm of the seen and the realm of the unseen. There's the realm of the eternity and the realm of temporary. And in both realms there are actually three dimensions. But we're not going to get into all that tonight. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Things are three-dimensional. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. How many want to enter the age to come? Amen. Praise be to God. Salvation is three-dimensional also. We'll talk about that here in a second. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's speak it. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to what? Visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. Three-dimensional. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, he didn't understand. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. How many times? Three times. That it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. So the touch of reality, and I'm going to say the touch of reality because Paul got a touch of reality. And when he got the touch of reality, he changed. Everything was upside down now. Now he realized that in his weaknesses is when he was strong. It wasn't in his strengths. See, carnality looks at your strengths. But our strengths are nothing compared to God. It's in our weaknesses that we are strong, because we come to a place, it's called surrender. It's called what? Surrender. Yes. So Paul got a touch of reality and he became completely surrendered. And he realized everything was opposite. It's like his world turned upside down. Amen. And Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55. Is everybody there? In verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Let's speak it together. It says what? Seek the Lord while he may be what? Found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Again, his thoughts are much higher than ours. Does he want us to comprehend his thoughts, though? Yes. His thoughts are revealed by his spirit. His thoughts are revealed by his spirit and expressed by his words and manifested by his presence. I'm going to say that again. His thoughts are revealed by his spirit, expressed by his words, and manifested by his presence. His thoughts. Now, there's something about his thoughts that are revealed by his spirit, expressed by his words, and manifested by his presence, and that is to set things in order. And what he's setting is three things: stages, ages, and realms. He sets stages, ages, and realms. Is everybody okay? These are his thoughts. His thoughts are revealed by his spirit. His thoughts are expressed by his words. And his thoughts are manifested by his presence. The thoughts of God Almighty. And the purpose of these is so that he sets things in orders, in order of stages, ages, and realms. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What's he setting in order? Stages, ages, and realms. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this, what? Age. Nor are the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? His Spirit. So what did he reveal through his Spirit? His thoughts. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So understand again, ages. He speaks about the things of this age and the things that were prepared before the ages. Ages, grab hold of this. Ages are blocks of time taken out of the eternal age. They are blocks of time. These are called ages. And of course, the eternal age is timeless. Ages are blocks of time taken out of eternity. Stages are predestined events that establish an eternal purpose. They are predestined events that establish an eternal purpose in the ages or designated times that God has taken out of eternity. Again, ages are time. They are blocks of time that God has taken out of eternity. If you read Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, where there's a beginning, there's a what? And so the first thing that God created was time. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Well, actually, in the beginning, the first thing he created was time. In other words, he created, the first thing he set was an age. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Right? So he sets the ages. He sets the times. So in this, there's ages. And in each ages, there's stages. And these stages are events that establish the eternal purpose of God in that age or in that time. Is everybody okay? Praise God. And these things are associated with two locations, and these are two realms, the seen realm and the unseen realm. There is the seen realm and the unseen realm. So there are what we call the ages or stages, ages, blocks of time, stages, events in them, and there are two realms that these are happening in. They're happening in the seen realm and the unseen realm. So everybody got this? Praise God. At some time, it's all going to be one. The unseen will all become seen. Has everybody got it? At some time, everything will become one. And only by His Spirit can we comprehend this age that we're getting ready to go into, because it's an eternal age, isn't it? Only by His Spirit. So we must change. So there's an age to come. Amen? There's an age to come. In other words, there's a set time. It's called the millennium age that's getting ready to come. It calls it 1,000 years. So that's a time taken out of eternity that God has set, called the millennium age. Amen. And in that millennium age, there's going to be events. They're called stages. And what's going to happen during that period of time, it's not going to become one yet, but there will be a unity through his body that will become one. Because we will have glorified bodies where we'll be both going to the unseen realm and coming into the seen realm. Does everybody understand this? But eventually everything will all burn up and everything will be one. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, in this area of comprehending the eternal age, we can't comprehend it until we are not only one ourselves. We must become one. We are made of three parts, a spirit, soul, and body. Each part has a salvation to it. Is everybody okay? It's called a threefold soul salvation or a third dimensional salvation. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And we talked about the salvation of our body, didn't we? It would change. We'd have a brand new body, a glorified body. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 12. So we can't comprehend the eternal age until we are one ourselves. First Corinthians chapter 12. Age to come. The age to come. That's the message tonight. In case you might want to ask, what's he talking about? In verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the what? Same Spirit. Now remember, the Spirit reveals the thoughts of God. Amen? He reveals the thoughts of God. So if the Spirit reveals the thoughts of God, what he's doing, he's setting the stages. Is everybody okay? He's setting the events here. There are diversities of ministries, but it's the same Lord. Now we know that Jesus is known as Lord. He is the Alpha and Omega. So what is he setting? The ages or times. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. In other words, God the Father sets the realms. He oversees the both realms. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? So, the Spirit sets the stages of events, Jesus, the ages of time, and the Father sets the realms of fulfillment, so things can be fulfilled in both realms. Is everybody okay? It says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now we know he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but these are the position of the Trinity of God. You know, the Father thinks, right? The Spirit moves, right? Or the Father thinks, the Word speaks, and the Holy Spirit moves. It's the same thing here in this arena where God is preparing me and you to enter the next age. And there's that area where we must know that the enemy is trying to influence or prevent us from the fullness of salvation. And let me share something with you, that there are people who are going to enter the next age without glorified bodies. And they will die in that age. And when they die in that age, they'll have to wait to the end of 1,000 years to be brought back. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How many of y'all want to wait 1,000 years to be brought back? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10. Praise God. Let's speak it. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. And who's the end of the ages? Who came? Jesus. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. Well, or not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But if you're not paying attention, are you going to escape? If you're not hearing, are you going to escape? No. The enemy is Satan, who is trying to prevent us from completing the fullness of our salvation so we don't enter the age to come or the millennium age. Go to Luke 18. Luke 18. Hallelujah. Some of us want to shed some pounds. Well, let me tell you, it'll be done in a twinkling of an eye. You want to get rid of those aches and pains? It'll be taken away in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And Luke 18 and verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard this, he came very sorrowful, for he was what? Very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the what? Age to come, eternal life." So he expresses again, receive many times more in this present day and the age to come. So we must allow the complete redemption of salvation by God to be established in us. So what we do now, is everybody with me? What we do now affects us in the age to come. Everybody got it? What we do now affects us in the age to come. Remember, we talked about the secret to victory is to abide. Amen? We are to abide in His presence, in His Word, and His Word represents prayer and Word, in the body of fellowship. the three areas that we are to abide. That's how we have victory. Amen? So if you're not abiding in all three, you cannot have victory. It's impossible. You must abide in all three. Presence, word, and prayer. Amen? And the body. Go to Ecclesiastes 4. It's right after Proverbs. So how many things do we abide in? Three. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In other words, a threefold cord is hard to break. That's why he says to have victory, you must maintain a threefold cord. And in that threefold cord, it's the area where we abide in his presence, in his word and prayer, and in the body. Why? Because a threefold cord is hard to break. When one of those cords is broke, victory cannot be established. Is everybody okay? Now, think about this. We are three-dimensional, aren't we? We have a spirit, we have a soul, and a body. Right? Our spirit is associated with the eternal, which came from God. Our soul is like the mediator, the interpreter. That's why you must renew it. And our bodies are the flesh. It's at a temporary realm. It's of the earth. Jesus said something very powerful. He said, in 3 days, 3 days I will rise. He said, I'll destroy this temple in 3 days. What was he fulfilling? He's doing a threefold cord, wasn't he? Amen? Listen, when the Lord destroyed the earth with the flood, Noah had how many sons? Three. It began to change things. There were three prophets in the fire, weren't there? Didn't that change the king's heart because they didn't burn? Three is associated with Trinity, but it's actually unity. And when the threefold cord is established, when things are happening, always a change comes. A change always happens in a threefold. There's always a change, just like you and I are going to change. Amen? And all in history, all certain things were associated with three because it brought change. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at Jonah. 3 days in a belly stomach, you don't think he changed? Yeah, he said, man, okay, I'll obey. The 3 days that Jesus did, when he died and went to hell for 3 days, is an event that was set for the stage in this age. Amen? When he fulfilled that, the whole world turned and the course changed. Has everybody got this? Because there's usually three associated in stages. And I'm not going to go all into that, but I think you got it. Ephesians chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 4? Ephesians 2, verse 4. Let's speak it. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in that what? Ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? That we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. The ages to come. In other words, he said he'd show his kindness. And remember, ages is associated with time taken out of eternity. The next age to come again is the millennium. It is a 1,000-year reign. It is known as the kingdom of God on earth. And we must be changed. In this we will fulfill the fullness of salvation with glorified bodies. In Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The age to come. Hebrews chapter 9. So do you understand about abiding and how important it is? Can't have victory and you can't enter the next age without abiding. Hebrews 9 and verse 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. But he, Jesus, then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for what? Salvation. Wow. So we are appointed to die once, then judgment. So the best thing to do is first die to yourself. Amen? Because if you don't die to yourself now, you'll die physically. It's one or the other. There is no choice. Death is the ultimate option. Romans 12. Romans 12. Age to come. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's speak it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. Every day we should be presenting our spirit, soul, and body and flesh to the Lord as a living sacrifice. In verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is your soul. When he speaks of your mind, the mind is your soul is made of your mind, your will, and emotions. Amen? So he says these things need to be renewed. In other words, renewed means to bring to remembrance. Grab hold of this in the fullness of salvation. Our spirit is saved because Christ gave his life for us. Our soul is saved because we deny ourselves and follow the Lord. And our body dies for the new body. That's the threefold salvation, isn't it? The soul has natural desires with feelings. It seeks satisfaction from the world. That's why it must be renewed. It seeks satisfaction. If it's you allow it to seek satisfaction in this age, it loses the satisfaction in the age to come. It's our responsibility to maintain that arena, that our soul be renewed. So it's not overcome by the world, but it overcomes the world. It's called the pleasures of this world. And Matthew 16, would you go there, please? Matthew 16 and verse 24. We are looking to enter the age to come. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. In other words, take off the old man, put on a new man, and follow the truth. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he has gained the whole world, in other words, its pleasures, and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, and that's the next age. You know, one of the things about Paul, when he realized, when he got a touch of reality in his world, everything turned upside down. That's why many of the individuals of the world hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness. That's worldliness. But those who are the kingdom forgive. Amen? Because we're not associated with the world. See, unforgiveness to a person that's holding bitterness or unforgiveness is holding an arena of self-satisfaction. Because this is how the world satisfies itself. It always promotes itself. Pride is nothing but a self-satisfaction. But it's a personal, you know, personal reverence into a deadly end. That's why the Lord says he rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. Because the area of full pride brings a self-satisfaction. But these are things of satisfactions of the world. And these fulfillments of an individual will lose the satisfaction of the age to come. Because they're being fulfilled here with the things of the world. And anyone who is a friend of the world makes himself a what? Enemy of God. Amen? So in this, you know, look at the area that, listen, a sinner chooses his choices. A sinner can choose heaven or hell, can't he? Amen? A believer chooses the world or the kingdom. I'm going to say this again. A sinner chooses heaven or hell. A believer chooses the world or the kingdom, one or the other. So you're either about yourself and worldly business or about kingdom business. Amen? Again, the key to the next age is surrender. Complete surrender. Whoever can't overcome his emotions of worldly pleasure cannot overcome the worldly environment. He who conquers worldly emotions and its pleasures can overcome worldly environment and its influences. Has everybody got this? It is essential that we begin to realize this, of what is awaiting for us and the foolishness that we deal with right now. There is an age to come. We must take dominion over self-satisfactions and the emotions, renew the soul, and maintain that area of abidance so a threefold cord cannot be broke. Go to Third John. Third John. We must overcome emotions. Has everybody got it? It is essential. That's why it's important to sever emotional attachments and labels placed on us. You know, daily, I want to say this daily. That's what the Bible says, deny yourself daily. Daily, the enemy's always reattaching emotion to you. Emotion of satisfaction to the world. Daily. Has everybody got this? You know, there are people who are more dependent on the doctor than they are on God. They're more dependent on medication than on God. They're more dependent on their job than on God. They're more dependent. Are you listening? It's because they have emotional attachment with these things. Remember, the Lord says, you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to leave your family. And he doesn't mean literally leave. He says, you must hate everything else, and he must be number one. You must be willing to do whatever it takes to overcome yourself and the environment of this world with his influences of worldly pleasures. In 3 John, is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 2, 3 John verse 2, would you read it with me? Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your what? Just as your what? Your soul prospers. And what's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. Why? Because they're overcoming what? Their emotions. Satisfactions of the world. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Go to 2 John in verse 4. The age to come. Don't miss it. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward, and that is the next age. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Hello. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And I'm going to close at Luke 20. The next age. And we will be going to and fro from the earth to the heavenlies. God willing. He's willing. We just have to cooperate. Amen? And Luke 20. Is everybody there? Let's see. 34. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age, in other words, the next age, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor can they die anymore. For they are equal to what? Angels. And are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised. When he called the Lord a God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. For all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered and said, Teacher, you have spoken well. But after that, they dared not question him anymore. So understand, in the millennium that is to come, we are like angels. It's not about marriage. It's totally different. But those who are still in the world that are alive in the flesh, it'll still be about worldly things. Has everybody got it? That's why we must allow the fulfillment of the salvation of our spirit, our soul, and our body to enter into the next age. It is getting closer than you realize. We are servants of the Lord, not man. Amen? So we serve in the kingdom. We are servants to the anointing. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And we are ambassadors to the eternal kingdom. We must continue to abide. You never know when your last breath is and what condition you're in. Amen. What is getting ready to happen and what we're getting ready to enter is awesome. Stand fast. Don't get moved out of position. Hold on, and you will be rewarded. And the reward is unexplainable. You'll experience. And when you experience, you'll say, my gosh, I can't believe I grumbled and complained so much. I can't believe I did all those goofy things. For what is this? But it's awesome. Let me share with you. When the Lord took me and I went to the other side in the glory, I said, please, can I stay? If this is death, I want it. I yearn to go home. I don't like this place. Don't want to live here forever. God, death is a rescue. What is awaiting us is so awesome, you can't explain it. The only thing you can do is experience it. And when you experience it, you'll realize how foolish we were. Amen? So stop getting caught up in this place and get caught up in his place. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, forgive us for all of our foolishness. We thank you that you know that we are frail. And we thank you that your love for us is unconditional. Even when the enemy begins to say all kinds of things. Help us, Lord. And help us continue to fill us, keep us thirsty and hunger for your presence. For your word, and to maintain fellowship in your body. Keep us in that place where we abide, Lord, so the fulfillment of salvation and the redemption that you have for us is complete, that we may enter into the next age in eternity with you. We commit to you all things. We ask for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, so that we will know things to come and be ready in season and out and bring glory to your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory.